BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
It's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that. And
just
whichever
like
two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Heck yeah. It
doesn't matter. Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. We are absolutely excited tonight because we have a stacked show for you. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and as always, joining me is my ever-diligent producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I am here, and oh my God, we have someone on the line in a moment that is going to knock your socks right off.
And joining us at this time is one of the most legendary managers in pro wrestling, the Louisville Slugger himself, Mr. James E. Cornette. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. And I, as we said off the air right before we started this interview, this is the first time I've been interviewed on a wrestling broadcast by someone from Utah. So another first for Jim Cornette.
All right. That's great to hear. Well, we're just excited to have you.
Well, we'll fix that quickly. We'll bring that excitement to an end. I did a broadcast a couple of days ago, and the guy said, "You've been one of our most requested guests on the program." And I said, "Well, after they hear this one, they'll never ask for me again." So we'll fix that.
Well, hopefully not. But I have to know, just because, well, you've got to be excited about going into the Hall of Heroes alongside the Rock and Roll and Midnight Express. Are you excited for that? I mean, what was your emotion when you got requested to do that?
Well, yes, you know, it's obviously at the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina, August 1st through the 4th, and Greg Price does a tremendous job, you know, putting these conventions on every year. I've been to almost all of them since the start. Haven't been there in a couple of years because I had commitments with Ring of Honor. But this year, you know, he told me that he wanted to induct not only the Midnight Express and I, but also the Rock and Roll Express. And we kind of go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Absolutely.
You know, so he told us that. And you know, it's a great honor because I've been to so many of the banquets and so many of my personal heroes and guys that I looked up to and were fans, that was a fan of when, you know, when I was young or are in there. It's almost like, you know, what, me together with the, like the Fabulous Fargos and all these people. But But it's going to be great. It's going to be fun, and we are looking forward to it. So yes, and it plus also I always enjoy getting a chance to see the boys again. As we, I guess we're going to call each other the boys until we're all 80. But Bobby and Dennis will be there. Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey. Stan Lane could not be there because of a prior commitment with his annual boat race. He works with the American Power Boat Racing people, and they're up in Michigan that the first weekend of every August, which unfortunately conflicts with Fan Fest. But he's already sent a video in, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Rock and Roll Express too, because I still got a tennis racket with Ricky Morton's name on it.
Oh no, Rick, you better watch out.
He better not get out of line. We're liable to turn over. We'll be down there in the banquet, you know, over across the table amidst the canned peas, and it'll be a riot.
Well, you mentioned so many great names. Is there anybody that you're really looking forward to seeing?
Well, you know, I look forward to see, you know, guys that are there every year. Ole Anderson, of course, makes it an annual summer vacation now. Mr. Wrestling 2, we go back, you know, a long ways with. This year, Tully Blanchard, Magnum TA are also going to be there and be inducted. And you know, it's a chance not only to see all the wrestlers that you used to spend your life with. We spent more time with each other in the locker rooms and on the road than we did with our families. But also, you know, the fans after all these years, you recognize the same faces. You see some of the same people. It's kind of like it's not like the Charlotte Fan Fest to me is unique, because it's not like going to a Legends reunion or an autograph show in some other places where there's a clear delineation between the talent and the fans. This is a bunch of old friends getting together, regardless of which side of the ropes we were on. And everybody has a good time. Everybody enjoyed the same type of pro wrestling. And so you see so many familiar faces. And it's a chance for me to nerd out or geek out or whatever the mark out, whatever the phrase is these days, and pick up some. I'm going to be obviously at my Cornette's Collectibles booth with Mark James and Memphis Wrestling History website, because we've just finished co-authoring a new book that will debut at the Fan Fest on the history of Memphis wrestling merchandising. It's a fantastic book. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but I'm going to be selling vintage wrestling memorabilia, and I'm also going to be buying some. I think I come home in the hole, because I get rid of stuff out of my house that I don't really need, but I find so much other cool stuff that I end up in the hole and coming back with more than I left with.
That's fantastic. I got to know, before we get into your book a little bit, what is your favorite piece of memorabilia? Because I have to confess, I was looking through your Twitter last night, because you are one of my favorite people on Twitter, and I was looking through your pictures, and I saw that you had put up a picture of you doing a DVD commentary or DVD interview, and I guess you were in your office and was absolutely just full of so many wonderful things. So I'd love to know what your most favorite piece of memorabilia is that you either have or you found or...
Well, actually, I'll tell you, and also, luckily, since I'm very technologically challenged, my wife does my Twitter for me, you know, and I don't do it as often as I should, and I'm having my website completely revamped, jimcornette.com. I've been so immersed in my wrestling projects over the past couple years, I haven't updated it like I should. I haven't, you know, you can still get the Midnight Express 25th Anniversary scrapbook along with some cool DVDs and et cetera there, but it's in the process of being completely revamped. I'm actually having a photographer come over today and take some new pictures. We've got a lot of written material that's going to be going up on the new site configuration. It's just going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread number 3. But one of the features of the new website, and hopefully this will be done in the next month or so, is going to be entitled From the Vault, where I take pictures of my climate-controlled, custom-built vault here at Castle Cornette and some of the memorabilia and merchandise inside of it and give some personal anecdotes. It's kind of going to be like a virtual wrestling museum tour.
Nice.
And I would say that my favorite, you know, that's like naming your favorite children, but my favorite piece of wrestling memorabilia has to be the incredible set of St. Louis programs that I was able to purchase. There were 3 sets of these made. The owners of the St. Louis Wrestling Club, Sam Muchnick, obviously the promoter, Pat O'Connor, and Bob Geigel. 3 sets in the world. Of all of the programs for the events that Sam Muchnick promoted in St. Louis, from his first event in 1945 to his retirement in 1982, bound in hardback volumes. And when Pat O'Connor died, his wife Julie was kind enough to arrange through a friend of mine to let me purchase his set. And they're fascinating, and I've upgraded them because I took them to a few different events and got autographs from all of the great NWA World Champions and Sam Muchnick himself. So Muchnick, Lou Thesz, Dorian Terry Funk, Jack Briscoe, Harley Race, Gene Kaniski, and Ric Flair have autographed the first volume of this set, and that is my... That's the thing where, you know, if I see the tornado coming up the driveway, I'm grabbing that and bailing out the back door.
I would be right there with you, absolutely. That sounds just absolutely incredible. And I actually look forward to seeing pictures of that because I can imagine that's really cool to look through.
Well, I invite everybody, bear with us over the next several weeks till we get this project finished, but there's going to be a lot of cool reading material, a lot of great pictures, and also plenty of stuff to purchase, because over the wintertime I did go through the vault, and I figured out that roughly I have 5,000 wrestling magazines and programs going back to the 1930s, 3,000 plus wrestling videotapes, 15,000 pictures from when I did the photography for the Memphis Territory and all over the Southeast years ago, 10,000 comic books from the 30s to the 70s, hundreds of toys, games, and puzzles related to such, a big Disney collection, thousands of horror and sci-fi and entertainment pop culture magazines, 25 years of Rolling Stone, hundreds of paperbacks on pop culture, or hardbacks rather, on pop culture and entertainment from the silent film days to radio and television and rock and roll. I've been a collector all my life, and now it's come to the point where, as I get older, unless I want my own episode of Hoarders, I'm going to be selectively selling off some of this stuff, because I got a big house and I still don't have a lot of room. So if I want to get anything else, I got to get rid of something. So that's the Cornette Collectibles section of the website. Did I mention JimCornette.com? But I digress.
Well, we'll definitely look forward to checking that out, because we were perusing your website last night, too, kind of looking through everything, and so far it looks really nice.
Well,
so.
It's going to look a whole lot better, because actually that's the thing is we had problems with the gentleman that built it for me. The server sometimes was up and down, and we wanted to revamp the design, and I have been reticent in updating things, and I've got a bunch of stuff to put up and disseminate, and we're going to concentrate on my favorite things, which are pro wrestling, politics, pop culture, and food.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
And I'm living vicariously now through our food reviews, because I've also, over the last 6 months, with so many guys my age and even younger, you know, having health issues and heart attacks going around. Jerry Lawler, who I've known since 1976, actually died on live television on Raw last year, as everybody knows. Of course, He was right next to an EMT crew and down the street from the hospital. If it had been me, I'd have been in Wartburg, Tennessee at the county fair, and the guy running the Ferris wheel would have been standing over me going, he ain't gonna make it. So I've revamped my diet and my personal habits, and I've lost 50 pounds and gone to the doctor and got all my blood tests done, and my cholesterol's down, my blood sugar's down, everything that should be down is down, and everything that should be up is up. So I'm happy with myself, and I'm debuting my new girlish figure at the Charlotte Fan Fest as well.
Well, we have to congratulate you on that. That is absolutely wonderful news to hear.
Well, I'm the only guy in the wrestling industry that can go to rehab without leaving the house. That's what I basically. I just got off the road and stopped eating triple cheeseburgers three times a day, and you'd be amazed what that will do for your cholesterol level.
I can imagine. I mean, how much weight have you lost to date?
I started in November at 248, and yesterday I weighed in at 198. So I'm 50 pounds down, and a whole lot better. Of course, you know. Still, as Arn Anderson used to say, fat looks better brown than white. So I'm trying to tan a little bit and get a little color to my ghostly pallor. But overall, I'm a new guy. As a matter of fact, when I married my wife, we went on our honeymoon, and the next morning we woke up and I stretched my arms. I said, I feel like a new man, and she said, so do I. So you never know about these things.
Your wife sounds like an absolute riot.
She has caused a few in her day, but that's another story for the court to decide.
So if we can, I'd really like to get into your book, because I'm actually very curious about it. For those of you who haven't heard and for whatever reason, didn't hear the wonderful intro that you gave us. You've written, or at least co-written, a new book with Mark James entitled Rags, Paper, and Pins, The Merchandising of Memphis Wrestling. And I'm really kind of curious how this came about, because I understand that there are pictures that you've taken yourself from the Memphis days, that it's going to be beautifully illustrated according to the press release. So I'm kind of curious, how did this all come about? Where did it come from?
Well, it as most collaborations do, it came from mutual interest and admiration. And Mark James is the gentleman who does the MemphisWrestlingHistory.com website. And he has done some fantastic books on the history of Memphis wrestling, the old cards and programs and newspaper ads and et cetera, and really kept the old, Memphis wrestling alive for the dedicated fans it still has. And of course, I've got the huge wrestling collection, and we got together this past winter, and he came up to the house and saw what was here and said, I see about 10 books without even flipping through anything. And what we decided to go for first was this book, because Rags, Paper, and Pins, the title comes from Sputnik Monroe, one of the greatest wrestlers in Memphis history, and he has a chapter pretty much all to himself in this book with stories of Sputnik Monroe, and he is the man who, not a lot of people know this, integrated sporting events in the South, because back in the days when there was segregated seating at sporting events, Sputnik was so popular with the black community in Memphis that while business was down and they were turning black fans away because the black section was filled, the white section was nearly empty. And Sputnik was the guy, and you'll read more about it in the book, but Sputnik was the guy who basically said, hey, let my black friends in or I'm leaving. And he was too important. He still to this day holds the all-time record, not Jerry Lawler, not Jackie Fargo, but Sputnik Monroe holds the record for the most people to see a wrestling match in Memphis back in 1959 with Billy Wicks. So he's the guy who really kicked off the Memphis wrestling craze that lasted for more than 30 years. And what his comment was always, when he would see the wrestlers going out to sell their merchandise, he said, yeah, they're going out there to peddle their rags, paper, and pins. And that's exactly what we have done here. We have gone back to 1950, to the earliest piece of arena merchandise that we could find, a program from Memphis. And we have, for the next 30, 35 years, shown the evolution of merchandising. Back before there were, action figures and home video and toys, and you can get wrestlers, faces and names on everything from bed sheets to toilet paper these days. But back then, it was only available in the arenas, and things were very primitive, and we show the evolution of programs and pictures and magazines and different things, and how Memphis was really on the leading edge of it. And it's told from somewhat of a first-person narrative from my point of view, because since I did the programs and magazines and the photography to be sold at the merchandise stands from the mid-70s to the early 80s, which was one of the glory periods, I was kind of responsible for some of the transitions. So we have extensively illustrated magazine and programs and posters, also pictures that I took and ones that came before and afterwards, different behind-the-scenes things and how the things were sold and who made the money and how much money they made. And then we've also done a year-by-year summary of the big drawing wrestlers and major houses and major events for a period of like 20-some years. We also have a section on wrestlers' records, because Memphis being the birthplace of rock and roll and soul and so much music, it was only natural that some of the wrestlers would branch off into making records. And these weren't just some knockoffs like they did in other places, but Knox Phillips, the son of Sam Phillips, who was actually, all of them were great wrestling fans. Sam Phillips, of course, the head of Sun Records that signed Elvis Presley. Knox Phillips was an engineer and great Memphis session musicians like the Memphis Horns and members of the Amazing Rhythm Aces would play on these records, and they were sold in not only in the arenas but also in record stores and played on the radio around the area. So there's a big section on that. It's 350 pages. There's something for everybody. And like I said, we're going to debut it for sale at the Charlotte Fan Fest. Those folks will get the first crack at it, and then immediately afterwards, it'll be on sale at JimCornette.com and MemphisWrestlingHistory.com. Did I mention those? And for more information on the Charlotte Fan Fest that I mentioned again, you can go to NWALegends.com. See, used to I had to remember just names and dates. Now I've got to remember all these .coms as things have changed in the world.
It sounds absolutely wonderful, and I can't wait to get it at JimCornette.com or anywhere else, really.
MemphisWrestlingHistory.com. Mark will feel left out, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mark. If you hear this, I'm so sorry. But, yes, when I found out you had written this and we were talking about it when we were doing interview prep, I was like, oh, my gosh, can't wait to talk about it with him because it sounds just like an absolutely fascinating book, and I love to kind of read up on the history of wrestling, and so this will be something really cool to read, and I would invite anybody and everybody who's a fan of wrestling to read it because it sounds so amazing.
Well, folks who liked my Midnight Express 25th Anniversary Scrapbook, which was the Wrestling Observer Book of the Year a couple of years back, and we had a lot of great feedback on that because it not only told the stories from an outsider perspective, but also from an insider perspective with, you know, dates and gates and paperwork that people didn't see. Well, this takes a little bit more of a fan approach, but at the same time, the first person behind the scenes story is there. But it's a lot of cool wrestling memorabilia that's reproduced along with the story behind how it was created. So, you know, we think that if you're a fan of Memphis wrestling, if you're a fan of classic wrestling, or if you're a fan of current wrestling and would like to know more about how things evolved to where they are today, you know, it's got a little something for everybody.
And it sounds like it. So, like we said, pick it up, go buy it, make it successful, make it awesome, because I think we want to see more titles in the future, and it sounds like you've definitely got more stories to tell in you.
Well, I've got a lot of stories in me. Most people call it bullshit, but we have a variety of things planned for the next year. We don't want to just flood the market, but it will be a prolific combination, Mark and I believe, and I think that's our mission statement, is to do cool books for wrestling fans that would like to have on their coffee table or shelf, because we're the audience that we're going for. We love wrestling as well as wrestling history and just the colorful stories and the unique personalities involved, and so we're trying to keep that alive before it's lost in today's cookie cutter, homogenized, pasteurized, sanitized world of wrestling. You know, it's kind of like the wrapper on the toilet seat at the Super 8, you know, sanitized for your protection. But we like to go back and tell the stories of when the guys were a little bit wilder and the days were a little bit less controlled.
And those are always the most fun to hear, definitely. If I can, I'd actually like to ask you some really rather dorky questions, just for my own curiosity, I suppose. As everybody knows, you are one of the most infamous managers in wrestling today. And I'd love to know what your thoughts are as far as if there is a need for managers in wrestling today. Because it feels kind of like it's becoming a lost art, and that's so sad to say.
Well, yeah, actually, to be honest, wrestling is becoming a lost art, to be quite honest. You know, the business has constricted. There's fewer places for not only top wrestlers to make big money, but also for aspiring wrestlers to get in and involved in the sport and learn the right way. I mean, you know, there's a show on every corner, but the question is, does anybody running it or is anybody featured on it know what they're doing, have been properly trained in the particular job that they're performing? And with managers, it comes down to, people ask me the same thing about tag team wrestling. The WWE is the industry leader now, although they don't call themselves wrestling, and actually they have achieved their goal. They pretty much aren't wrestling anymore. I draw a delineation between wrestling and sports entertainment. They're not the same thing. I believe Matt Stryker, who recently was released by the WWE, made the statement that he understood that the WWE is not a wrestling program. It's an entertainment program that uses wrestling as a backdrop. And unfortunately, that's the case. And so when they decide that they're not going to feature tag teams, or they're not going to feature managers, or hell, if they decided one day we're not going to set the ring up, we're going to do the whole show without a ring, pretty soon everybody in the world would be following their example and nobody would have a ring. Right. Because instead of trying to do something different, everybody always tries to copy the industry leader. And to me, if I was going to open a restaurant and everybody was selling steak, I'd sell chicken. But, you know, that's what we were trying to do with Ring of Honor, and And I would have loved to have stayed and seen that through, but unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, it was better for my health and other people's health that I was about to choke that I stepped back from that for a while. But that's the thing, a manager, just like a great tag team match, just like great variety, great, you know, I want to say characters in wrestling are gone. And the problem now is that there are no characters in wrestling because everybody is given a character. Hi, Lindsay. I think you look lovely, and you'd look even better if you wore a Catwoman suit and purred on your interviews. Well, that's your character. No. Characters in wrestling were organic in the old days because you found a guy. Dick Murdoch was a character. I don't care if he was in wrestling. They used to say, oh, Dick, what a character he is when he was just walking down the street, because he was a character. Abdullah the Butcher was a character. These guys were characters, man. There was nobody like you had to pay to see people like this because you didn't see them walking down the street and you didn't come across them in daily conversation. And now that people are given characters, simply made up and imagined by some person with a degree in creative writing who's worked on a soap opera, as I roll my eyes and try to put as much sarcasm in my tone as possible, it's almost impossible for the guy's real personalities to come through. And the only problem with that is the guy's real personalities coming through is what creates a megastar. Steve Austin's real personality came through. The Rock's real personality came through. Ric Flair's real personality came through. Jerry Lawler's real personality came through. And that's what made, you know, all these guys and so many more as big as they were, and that's why they sold so many tickets. That's why they're still so well remembered. The Charlotte Fan Fest guys, if you went up to, you know, to Tully Blanchard and said, well, this will be your character, you know, he would have looked at you like you had steaming turds hanging out of your mouth. So that's, you know, the manager aspect of your question, that's lost too, because let's face it, a lot of guys are great athletes and are not very good public speakers. And so the manager filled that role because the manager, obviously, although there were exceptions to the rule, Bobby Heenan not only was a great talker, but also was probably a better wrestler than most of the guys he managed, except Bockwinkel and Stevens. The manager was not very athletic, but was a great public speaker. So you put the two together and you had the package.
Right.
And unfortunately now, you know, even though Vince himself grew up watching guys like the Grand Wizard and Lou Albano and all the way back to Gentleman Bobby Davis in the 50s, great managers drawing, you know, great crowds, he has chosen to go in a different direction because of whatever his vision of wrestling is, which changes sometimes, but is generally that it's not to be taken seriously. And it's a shame.
It is. It really is. And I'm just kind of curious, and do you think at any point we could see resurgence in managers again? Because we were having this conversation last night while we were prepping the interview, where there doesn't seem to be, at least for our age range, which we are in our 30s, where there are managers on our age level.
I think you could see a resurgence. Like I said, you know, Vince could decide tomorrow we're taking the ring out, and then, you know, in 3 years, no wrestling promotion would be using a ring. If he decided tomorrow we're going to have a bunch of managers and we're going to make them mean something, then everybody else would be following suit. Now the question whether they would be any good or not, that may still be you know, open to debate, because you can't just say, okay, you're a manager, go out there and be great. You have to find people who understand wrestling, who have followed wrestling, who understand what the role is, and you know, it came naturally to me just because I had been around so many great managers in my young, you know, teenage years, not only as a fan from the time I was 9, but then being around the guys 3 and 4 days a week, doing photography, ring announcing, whatever. You know, I watched great people do their thing and was, you know, paid attention, and as a result was able to kind of say, okay, you know, and this till, you know, when you get in the business itself, then it's an entirely different learning process. But I wasn't just thrown out there and like a lost ball in high weed screaming, find me.
Right.
So, the you know, then the question is whether they become any good or not, and it would have to be an effort. Same thing as tag teams. a tag team usually is not instantly great. They have to get together. They have to be. They have to get experience. They have to learn each other inside and out, and how to work with each other. And that takes time. And so it would have to be not only a change in what's being used today, but also it would have to last for a while so that people would be able to get experience with it. You could see anything happen again. It's just that, unfortunately, I think the one thing that can't be changed about wrestling anymore is I don't think we'll ever see a day, and I wouldn't even have said this last summer, but I unfortunately have come to grips with it, much like a bad relationship that you don't want to end but you know has to. I don't think we'll get to a point where people on a wide mainstream basis will take wrestling seriously again as they did for, you know, over 80 years, because it's now been a generation that wrestling has parodied itself, that it has been presented as entertainment and show instead of sport, that it is after you can take something serious and you can parody it to great effect, but you can't take something that's been parodied and suddenly make people take it seriously again.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think we've gotten to that point. There's a generation of people out there who have not yet seen or have never seen wrestling treated seriously as a sport. And as a result, I don't know if we can go back from that one.
And that's definitely very tragic to hear and to know that that's been lost.
I mean, there are fans of sports entertainment now. They've made them because they've never seen anything else. And, it's not in any way, shape, or form professional wrestling, but, you know, they're going to be fans of anything. From some certain German videos I've seen, there are fans of people that will like anything. But for the sake of the perpetuation of the industry, of the sport, of the business, of the guys in it and the fans, there used to be a lot more wrestling fans. There used to be a lot more wrestlers. There used to be a lot more shows. There used to be a lot more television programs. Wrestling used to be a lot bigger. And now, you know, one company is fairly large, although not nearly as big as it was 15 years ago, and the rest of them are you know, playing drastic catch-up. And most people now, the most popular wrestling promotion in the world is now the UFC.
Right.
Right.
Because they stole all our stuff, and they said, well, the pro wrestling guys, they're not using this anymore, so we'll do it. In no way are the fights fixed or worked or manipulated or choreographed, etc., but at the same time, the idea of hyping a big fight, the idea of getting a champion and a top contender over and then selling tickets to see who's going to win the championship, or the idea of a grudge match, two guys that don't like each other, going to have a fight, let's see what happens. And the manner in which that they're promoted, UFC, whether they will admit it or not, and I know that some folks in the UFC are actually, not only does Dana White respect Vince McMahon for the way that he has promoted his business, although he doesn't want to do pro wrestling, there are some folks in the UFC that are old-time wrestling fans and have basically said, well, the wrestling people aren't using this stuff anymore, so we'll take it, and they've done tremendous business with it.
They certainly have. You mentioned tag teams before. You've been working with the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express. One tag team you worked with in WWE was Owen and Davey Boy. What was your thoughts on working with them, and do you have any fond memories of working with the late, great Owen Hart?
Well, you know, definitely, and unfortunately, both of them are late, great at this point. Owen and Davey were a great tag team because they'd been around each other for years. They knew each other, obviously. They were family, related by marriage, and they'd spent so much time together from starting out in Calgary. So instantly, and plus they were both great wrestlers, mm-hmm. especially Davey when he was motivated.
Right.
And so, you know, instantly they were a great tag team because of all those reasons I just mentioned. And personally, they were great to be around, especially Owen. Owen was the funniest Canadian that I've ever met. Usually Canadians, to be honest, are very dry and kind of not exactly outgoing, you know, fun-loving cut-ups. But Owen was just, he was nuts. He was always wanting to rib somebody or yank somebody's chain. And just the little things that kept you from, you know, just succumbing to the monotony. If we were in a promo room for 5 hours back in the 90s, in the old days when you would do that, and doing promos for every town that we were going to and every program that we were doing, I'd be standing in the middle of them, and as I would start looking around, with every promo, all of a sudden, Owen would be like an inch taller. And I'd look down, and he was standing on a book. So then Davey would be, I'd look around at the next one, and he'd be 2 inches taller than me because he would be standing on a roll of duct tape. So then I'd look around, and Owen would look like Andre because he was standing on a box. Or they would have the squirt bottle. The wrestlers always use water squirt bottles for their promos because they want to look all sweaty and oiled up and ready to fight, right? And
mm-hmm.
can't sweat for 5 hours straight in a room, so they would use the phony sweat, the squirt bottle, and I would be standing there talking, and suddenly I'd feel something, and Owen, out of camera range, would be squirting the front of my pants with the squirt bottle where it looked like I pissed myself. You know, just stuff like that. They were always trying to find a way to break up the monotony, and they were jokesters and tricksters. And you know, in addition to enjoying the matches, obviously the Midnight Express and with the Heavenly Bodies, a close runner-up, remains my favorite tag team to manage just because of the years we were together and the fact that we were all real close friends. But Owen and Davey are right up there as well.
That sounds absolutely amazing, and I'm curious to know about another guy that you worked with down in Smoky Mountain. You had the privilege, or you got to work with another highly successful superstar in Glenn Jacobs, who's, as everybody knows, is Kane. And did you see the potential in him back then that he would have this kind of longevity with the character, or was it something of, we'll give him the character? Because I know he's had a couple of issues.
I saw the potential, obviously, because, you know, you got a guy who's almost 7 feet tall and 300 and some pounds and, you know, built like a bodybuilder and young and injury free and didn't have any bad habits and was reliable. And obviously the potential was there. I didn't know, you couldn't predict that he was going to be given a gimmick that he would take and just run with, much like, you know, Mark Calloway and The Undertaker. But actually the way that Glenn came to my attention was he had just started wrestling, and he was in Puerto Rico where Dutch Mantel was the matchmaker, and Dutch and I were old friends, and Dutch did a lot of work for me in Knoxville. And when he went back down to Puerto Rico and he had this kid, he called me one day and he said, "I got a kid for you. He's going to be great, but he's ready to get off this island because you could only stay in Puerto Rico so long before you cracked up."
Right.
And he told me his name's Glenn Jacobs, but, you know, we've got him under a mask down here as whatever, but you can do anything you want to with him, but he's great. He needs a chance. And on Dutch's recommendation, I brought him in, and at the time, the Unabomber was sort of out in your part of the country. The Unabomber was in the news, and we put him under the mask as Unabomb. And he was partners with Al Snow, who also was getting his first chance at doing wrestling television there in Smoky Mountain, even though he'd been wrestling for years at that point.
Right.
And Glenn was just, he was great to work with, and I was able to make the match between him and The Undertaker for our big event at Knoxville in 1995, and that's where he came to the attention of, obviously, of the WWF, because we had a working relationship at the time, and The Undertaker blessed him, and said that, you know, he could see this is a pay-per-view opponent for me when he gets a little more seasoning. So Glenn had to go through a couple of ill-advised gimmicks, let's just put it that way, that Vince, you know, I think Vince had gone to the dentist one day and decided to, I should have an evil dentist, and made Glenn an evil dentist. And thankfully that didn't last, but when the Undertaker's brother idea emerged, he was perfect for it, and you know, he made a great impact that way. And then I did the same thing when we had Batista here in Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville as Leviathan, the Demon of the Deep. I brought Kane down and put him in the Louisville Gardens in the main event against Leviathan, and said, here's another potential pay-per-view opponent. And the process repeated itself, where Glenn went back and said, hey, yeah, you know, we can make some money with this guy. And then, you know, that opened the door there, although they almost fumbled that one, too, and gave Batista a horrible gimmick. But somehow these guys persevere. And the moral of the story is, you can't teach 7 feet tall and you can't teach 325 pounds. And those guys are always going to get more chances just because of the impressive way they look.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm kind of curious, because you bring up OVW, and I was blessed to be there, at least see some shows while you were there. And I'm curious to know that while you were there, who was, you know, maybe aside from Batista, who was one guy that you really saw potential in that either made it or didn't make it?
Well, obviously, you know, as soon as I heard John Cena speak, I said, okay, he's a main event player, and he was actually a better heel than he was a babyface. And you know, unfortunately, once again, they kind of dropped the ball on that one at first, because they made him this all, you know, all American little young baggy pants wearing, I don't know what the whole deal was, trying to force him into that situation. But gradually, you know, once again, talent comes out, and John, to his credit, not only is he a great person, a great guy, he was easy to coach, he was always eager to please, and he could talk his ass off, looked great. He should be a better in-ring wrestler now than he is, but unfortunately, with the gimmick that he was given, that was last on the list of importance. But he was on track to be, you know, a top-level in-ring worker in training, and it just that went to the wayside with what they did with him character-wise. But obviously, it's worked out for him. You know, he makes probably $15 million a year. But at the same time, you know, there were guys that I can think of, the Basham brothers, who here were Doug Basham and the Damaja, who were a great tag team, who could have been a throwback to the era of the Midnight Express type of heel tag teams, who were tremendous together, who were both in fantastic shape, never a problem, always eager to be better, and they didn't get the proper, I don't think, not only did they get the proper gimmick, but they didn't get the proper exposure, and they were put with an anchor of a manager, that Linda Miles Shaniqua, that pretty much killed them from day one, because she, of all the people we ever trained, she was the only one that I actually just threw my hands up in the air and gave up on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was the worst wrestling school student in the history of wrestling schools. And unfortunately, the Bashams weren't 7 feet tall or 325 pounds, so they didn't get the opportunity, to try again. But, they missed the boat there. If I had to say of any who should have been and missed, it was the Bashams as a heel tag team, because they could have been the best in the business, and they weren't given the full opportunity to.
Oh, that's definitely a shame, and I would have to agree with you on that one. I remember the Bashams very well, and it's when they kind of sort of changed the gimmick from the original sort of whatever it was.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. See, there you go.
to
that pretty much tells the story right there. Who were these people and why are they on my television?
Yeah. It's,
when you ask those two questions, who are these people and why are they on my television, you pretty much know that you have failed in presenting a new talent to the general public.
Yeah.
As Dusty Rhodes used to say, people be sitting home going, when will this bullshit be over with?
We have one more question, Jim, to wrap this up. That's
give it okay. to me.
Did you ever catch the bus?
Never caught the bus. They ran three stoplights and got off at a one-way intersection, and I lost them. But for those of you out there listening who don't know what that is, I'm not going to tell you. You'll just have to figure it out.
Well, we'll tell you guys after the break. We'll fill you in.
But it was actually it was just one of those momentary things that had to happen. We were on the way to our Ring of Honor show. They were on the way to their WWE show. They passed us in the car, and the opportunity was there. And so we took it for an entertaining little video.
It was. It really was. I think we all get a good laugh out of it every time we see it, because. You driving down the interstate chasing a bus, yelling at Vince McMahon, what is just absolutely priceless.
I knew he was on there somewhere. I knew he had to be. But guys, hey, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it. And once again, NWALegends.com for information on the Charlotte Fan Fest, August 1st through 4th. I will be also in Louisville, here my hometown, July 26th through 28th at Fandom Fest and Fright Night Film Fest, along with a bunch of unknown job guys like Stan Lee of Marvel Comics, William Shatner, Gene Simmons of Kiss, but I'll be the star.
Exactly.
I'll be appearing there July 26th through 28th. I'll be in Charlotte at the Fan Fest, and JimCornette.com and MemphisWrestlingHistory.com for rags, paper, and pens, the history of Memphis wrestling merchandising.
Great. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Once again, thank you so much, Jim. Everybody, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is?
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
If you have sensitive ears, this is where you, let's just say use some earmuffs. That's the best way to put it. And tomorrow, accidentally click a Google ad on the site. Just saying. But earmuffs if you have sensitive ears. Right now.
Once in a while, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are asked to fill in the blank.
No, this is the one where everyone's supposed to pick something emo and then they go with something completely opposite. A dollop of sour cream, a sausage festival, South Korea, bedwetting, puberty.
And when we fill in the blank, you never know exactly what we might say.
The new high school mascot is Man Meat. Me! Kids with ass cancer, the taint, the grundle, the fleshy fun bridge, bored clown stripper. God, you people are all fucked up.
I'm just wondering how you make a costume for any of these.
What is the uncontrollable gas?
And here comes all the evil.
By the laugh, I can already tell I hate you all. A bag of Medicine, John Madden, anything to Tom Cruise, and Lumberjack Fantasy.
Wait, what was the third one?
John Madden.
No, that was number two. What was number three?
Tom Cruise.
No, what's in between John Madden and Tom Cruise?
You tell me, Rock. Tell me, what's between John Madden and Tom Cruise?
You're the czar, so tell me.
There's nothing to that.
Oh, God.
This is fantastic.
I didn't know Tom Cruise and John Madden knew each other that well.
Join us for Cards Against Humanity when the clock strikes evil. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
My life for estrogen. My life for a sassy black woman. My life for African children. My life for sex. My life for that ass. My life for sex. There.
You said that so defeated.
My life for sex!
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Something broken.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Speak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome back to the Rack. I hope everybody enjoyed Jim Cornette. I know we did this morning. We had a lot of fun talking to him. He's a blast. I hope he comes back soon.
I hope he comes back soon, too. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. We got through half the things we wanted to talk to him about. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that we could have gone probably another 40 minutes with him. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Easy. Because you ask him one question and he talks for 10 minutes. It's fantastic. And, like, we were sitting there and we were asking questions and we were waiting to ask questions. And he just answered every question we had. Let's knock that one off, knock that one off, knock that one off. He's fantastic. Jim Cornette. Go to jimcornette.com. It's being redesigned. It's going to have the new book. What the hell's the name of the book? He just told us. It's, Rags, Paper, and Pins, the Merchandising of Memphis Wrestling on August the 5th, jimcornette.com. With that shameless show out of the way.
By the way, hello everybody, we are now back live, hello.
By the way, speaking of that fan fest he's doing a one-man show / a Q&A entitled Unplugged and Uncensored. So if you're in the Charlotte area between August 1st or August 2nd, whatever that Friday is, check him out. It's Jim Cornette, and he's going to be uncensored.
Absolutely. And on a side note, Jim Mitchell is also doing a karaoke night.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was in Charlotte for that.
Celebrity karaoke night, I believe, right?
I'm not sure if it's celebrity or if it's just regular, but either way, I would pay money to go to Cornette's panel. I would pay money to go to Mitchell's panel.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the money and I was there, would totally go. So if you have the chance to go, definitely do it. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome time. Get the book, get the Cornette face shirt, support the man, support the legend, because he's awesome.
Legends Karaoke is what it's being called.
Yes. So. It sounds like it's going to be really exciting.
And Kane Kinnage, we speak English, just pointing that out.
Yeah, we don't speak that funny Canadianese.
Yeah, we don't speak that funny Canadianese, whatever, yeah. But there's nothing funny about Canadians, apparently.
No, there isn't. They're all dry and humorless. We have it from the official.
Mm-hmm. It is official that they are dry and humorous.
And it looks like we have another former interview guest in one Matt Goldberg in our chat room. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Matt Goldberg. Apparently, CCW episode 4, part 1 is coming out at the end of the month, so you want to check that out very, very soon. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211.
Yes. So, and speaking of Matt Goldberg, as I screw up his name, and his documentary Terrified, we should get into tonight's Impact, because we have an absolutely full show tonight.
We have a full show tonight, but before we get into the actual show itself, there's a couple things we need to address.
Oh?
One, Matt Morgan has been released from has asked for his release and was given it this past week from Impact Wrestling.
I don't know whether I should be upset or happy about this.
a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of different things going around about Matt Morgan. I was never his biggest fan. I'm just going to be honest. He's not... He misses something. There's something missing about him. He might be a great guy, and Matt has said he's a great guy. And I believe that. I've heard him on interviews. He's a really genuine, nice guy. He misses something to be a star in pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's... And this is no offense to Morgan. He's got a fantastic look, and I'm sure given the right gimmick, he could probably be something, but in the way that he is right now, he just really doesn't do much for me. He kind of falls flat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, as far as Morgan is concerned, him asking for his release, if he thinks he can go somewhere better and make more for himself, go for it, dude, because we would like to point out, he was not fired, he asked to be released.
Right, and Matt Goldberg asked, maybe they haven't just found the right gimmick for him after all these years. Yes and no, but if you think about it, how many years does it take to find the right gimmick?
Well, in some wrestlers' cases, they never find it, and others, they find it right away, and in some, it takes years. It just, I think it all depends on the person.
I will say his best gimmick by far was when actually he was working with Jim Cornette as Jim Cornette's bodyguard.
Well,
I will say that back in the early days of TNA when Jim Cornette came in as the director of authority, I believe that was his title.
Yes.
Matt Morgan was the bodyguard, and that's Matt Morgan has the look of a bodyguard. If he's the silent type where he just beats people up, that's a perfect role for him. Right? I just don't know where he fits in other landscapes, but that type of role sort of fits.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, best of luck to him. I hope he finds what he's looking for. I hope he can pull it off.
But also congratulations to Matt. We should say congratulations to Matt Morgan.
Yes, he and his wife are expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're expecting a child sometime this year or early next year. I'm not sure on the time frame.
Within the coming future.
Yes. Within the next few months. So, congratulations and congratulations to Mr. Anderson as well.
Yes, congratulations to Mr. Anderson. He and his wife are also expecting. I believe this one is their first.
I think, and they're having twins, I believe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Mr. Anderson is expecting twins, so.
That poor woman and that poor man. Mm. But that poor woman more, because he's not going to be there so much.
So,
we feel for you. We really do.
And we should clear up something we talked about last week on the show about TNA's pay issues. Apparently, everything's been cleared up.
Yes.
There was a problem. The way the system works is basically TNA files things to Panda Energy, and Panda Energy puts it out. Panda Energy's been behind, but TNA's also been behind. So.
Yes,
it just takes some time, and it's happened a few times over the years, but you know everything's being caught up, so that's we wanted to update the story from last week. And yes, we do know Madison Rayne is pregnant. I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago on the show.
We talked about it last week when it came to the releases. Actually, we brought up the fact that she is pregnant and that her contract had actually expired and that she was not fired. So we sort of cleared up that misnomer and the fact that she is currently pregnant right now and is expecting, I believe, either her first... I think it's her first.
It is her first child, yes.
First child.
But let's get into tonight's Impact.
Yes. Let's get into tonight's Impact because we have a lot to get into tonight. And, first of all, loved this show. So awesome, but we'll get into the awesome here in a little bit, not to slam anybody, as we open the show tonight with Aces and Eights. Bully comes out with the full complement of guys. He says it's time to take care of some business, and up first is one Chris Sabin. Bully says that Sabin is the new ex-champion, and now he has the chance to cash in his title for a shot at Bully at Destination X next week in Louisville. And that later tonight, Hulk Hogan will be out to get the title from Sabin, but Bully warns Sabin not to do it. He's warned him 1,000,001 times, and Bully reminds us once again that he's a very bad man who does very bad things to little people like Chris Sabin. But on to the next order of business, which is, of course, that the Aces and Eights will be finally filling the post of VP, so Anderson and Steve can stop squabbling with each other over it. Yay. But this is personal business. This is club business. So the fans, well, the fans don't get a say. The only people that get a say are the actual Aces and Eights.
Right. Which is, if you're a club, that's the way things should go down. Club business.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. And lastly, Bully addresses the main event Mafia. He says that not only are they going to decline their fight, they're going to decline it with prejudice. It was an emphatic no. So there will be apparently no fight between the Aces and Eights and the main event Mafia next week in Louisville, or at least so we think.
Before you continue on, I'm just going to point this out. What I learned so far is tough guys don't want to fight. Bully Ray doesn't want to fight, and the Aces and Eights, they don't want to fight. This is what I've learned out of this segment so far.
They're taking a week off.
They want a summer break or something?
Yeah, they do.
They want to go on vacay?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Even bullies deserve a break.
Okay. Just making sure Wes needs to work on his tan.
Yeah, because Wes so needs to work on his tan. I think that boy spends enough time at the beach. Just pointing that out.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, this of course brings out the main event Mafia. The four guys walk out looking very stylish. Angle says that they didn't pick Louisville by accident, that it was it's a planned attack. It's a planned hit, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Angle says that Bully's defending his title next week in Louisville, and he'll probably be doing it against Chris Sabin, and that's when Angle vows to take out every single one of the Aces and Eights next week in Louisville, which will, of course, leave Bully all by his lonesome.
Ooh.
Then Sting lays on a thick New York accent saying that their fifth member will be announced tonight, and he's a heavy hitter. Can't do New York accents.
Heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter, and that before the night is over, we will find out who he is.
Interesting opening segment. Again, like I said, we learned tough guys don't want to fight. And Kurt basically reiterated everything he said last week.
Pretty much, yeah. It was kind of sort of a rehash for Kurt. Although, I would like to say, Kurt, on the flag sunglasses?
No.
No, honey. Just no.
No.
Like the enthusiasm, but no.
Maybe get a new suit, too.
Maybe get a new suit, too, yes.
We've seen the same one about for 4 weeks. Anyway.
Well, maybe he only owns one.
He must only own one suit.
Possibly.
Anyway.
Moving on, backstage after the break, we see Chris Sabin arriving, so basically Bully's words fell on deaf ears, seeing as Sabin wasn't even there.
But we're going to get into something now, which I got a little excited for. It's Joker's Wild Night for the Bound for Glory series.
It is. For those of you that didn't hear, it's Joker's Wild. We have four tag team matches tonight with all the Bound for Glory participants, where it's randomly selected teams that will be fighting each other, and the winning teams will go into a Joker's Wild Gauntlet match, where the winner of the Gauntlet match receives 25 points.
25 big points.
In the Bound for Glory series.
So we have JB, and we have Christy Hemme spinning the tumbler, and the first name that gets pulled out, I believe it was
Jeff Hardy.
And then his partner, Joseph Park, who he fought last week. Amazing how that happens.
Yeah, kind of amazing how it's all random.
Mm-hmm. Random like that. And their opponents, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe.
Which I got excited for, because it's like, this is going to be good.
It was right. It wasn't anything to write home about, but it was a solid match.
It was a solid match. It was a quick match.
Mm-hmm. You were expecting a little bit more, especially with the names involved. But they kept it short, they kept it quick. And AJ Styles and Samoa Joe move on and into the Bound for Glory series gauntlet match. later on at night. I believe it was a tap out.
Yes. Joseph Park tapped out to Samoa Joe.
Yes, there you go.
Although I couldn't tell if he was tapping out or trying to rile up the crowd.
Something along those lines, but yes. Joseph Park tapped out to Samoa Joe's chokehold.
Yes. And then after the break, we see Taryn warming up backstage for the big ladder match tonight. So awesome to say that two girls are going in a ladder match. And once again, we have JB and Christy with Tumblr, and the next match is announced, where we have Jay Bradley and Hernandez taking on Magnus and Mr. Anderson?
It's funny how, you know, a couple of them fought last week. Like, you know, Hernandez and Jay Bradley. Amazing how that happened.
But will Anderson and Magnus be able to coexist, you know, since they're on opposite sides of the fence?
Well, did they?
Well, apparently not, because, well, Magnus and Anderson had issues of one tagging in the other. Anderson wouldn't come in the match. And basically, Magnus did the work solo until Magnus schoolboyed Hernandez for the win, and Anderson celebrated their victory.
Yeah, so Anderson celebrated their victory. So Magnus and Mr. Anderson move on in the Bound for Glory series.
So, yay!
And then, Lindsay, we move on to... Oh, some hilarity. That's the best way to put it.
Do we have audio for this?
We do have audio for this, right? About
just,
now.
Just ask.
I won the X Division title. And then what happens last week? Huh? It took, like, the whole company, basically. The whole X Division, Hulk Hogan and his plans. Then you got the main event mafia out there. You got aces and eights. There's, like, 24 people out there, which is finally enough to overcome me. And I lose the X Division title. Now we're back to square one. You know, maybe if you would have been out there helping, maybe that would have helped.
Oh, you want my help? You want my help?
Well, it would have been nice.
I got problems of my own. Well, I'm 0-3 in the Bound for Glory series. I won the first ever Bound for Glory series. This should be easy for me.
It should have been.
Okay, look at tonight is the gauntlet match. 25 points are up for grabs. I need it.
Hey, guys, we're in the home stretch of this Joker's Wild thing, and look, so the last four guys are these handsome fellas, the four of us. And look,
it's fate.
We're in Vegas. And like the Hunger Games, the odds are always in our favor. So, you know, we're going to get picked, which means the opponents are going to be you guys. And one more time, the bad influence versus the dirty heels. So let's go, Dave.
So, guys, just stay away from the tables tonight and just bet on the fact that bad influence is the best tag team in the business.
Three souls.
All right.
See you, dirty heels.
Yeah.
Good night.
This guy's need a thesaurus.
Talk so fast.
I know.
Hey, you know what, though? I think the one thing that we both can agree on... We both hate them, too.
I can't stand them.
God.
They talk so fast.
This is so amazing.
They just talk so fast. Oh, that was great. Love those four.
Yeah, there's no way we could do that justice. There's just no way.
No way in hell. So,
anyway, we can...
Go ahead.
We come back from yet another break, still basking in the awesome that is Bad Influence, and of course, the Dirty Heels. We see Gail Kim warming up for the ladder match backstage, and then, well, we're kind of down to a process of elimination, because, as they said, the only four left are the Dirty Heels and Bad Influence. We go to the Tumblr with Christy and JB. Kaz is announced first, and he's confident that
Daniels is announced first. Daniels.
No, it was Kaz.
No, Daniels.
Oh, it was Daniels? Okay, well, fine. Daniels was announced first, because it wouldn't be a show without me screwing something up. And he comes out. He's confident that his buddy Kazarian is going to be announced, and, well, not so much.
It was Austin Aries.
So we have Christopher Daniels and Austin Aries teaming up against Bobby Roode and Kazarian.
Hell of a match.
Great match. Fantastic match. We had a little bit of an issue between the Dirty Heels, or I should say in between our boys and Bad Influence, because, well, Kaz sort of got the small package on Daniels after Daniels broke up a pin for Kaz.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, sort of. Kind of, there's a little bit of a confusion, a little bit of, you know, ruffling of the feathers, but... it, you know, Daniels, after the match, after the loss, decided to be the better man. He shook Cass's hands and raised his hand in victory. They're all good. Everything's all good in Hood with the bad influence. But Bobby Roode and Kazarian move on to the Bound for Glory series gauntlet later in the show.
Yes. So we have all our contestants named. I was actually really happy with the selections, because it's like you saw the shadows and you could tell one shadow was really blatantly Robbie E. Like, you could tell with the hair. It was really kind of sad.
But there was no Robbie E in the thing.
I know. Well, I know, but still.
Just the shadow itself?
Just the shadow itself, like...
Right, okay. I know what you mean now.
Yeah, you're just sitting there going, oh god.
Oh god, yeah.
Anyway, backstage, the Aces are meeting up to vote in their new VP. Taz scurries off to be a part of the vote. He gets the break to get back there. He also gets time because we see Hulk and Brooke talking backstage, and Hulk wants to know about Bully. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to know why Bully is calling Brooke again. And he wants to know the truth, and he wants it now. Brooke continually avoids the questions and demands. She says that she just wants to take care of business. She wants to focus on the Knockouts ladder match because they worked so hard to get there. She's got her eye on business tonight. Personal can wait. And Hulk says, fine, take care of business, but make sure you take care of all your business.
And then, Lindsay, it's time for the club to elect a new vice president.
The past year has been one hell of a year for the Aces and Eights. I've become the world heavyweight champion. I've become your president. But lately within this club, we seem to have a little bit of a problem. We got rid of one problem. His name was D'Lo. We need to choose a new vice president. You think you're the man for the job. You think you're the man for the job. Since you guys chose to follow me, I'm going to leave this up to you. I ain't voting. You guys choose who you want to be your vice president. Fair enough? Who you voting for?
Me.
Who you voting for?
Me.
Wes?
Anderson.
Devon. Doc. Fish?
Anderson.
Tazoo. Doc. 3-3, gentlemen. 3-3. Nuxie! Looks like you got the deciding vote. Who's going to be our vice president, brother?
Do it.
Anderson.
My brothers, our new vice president of the Aces and Eights, Ken Anderson.
It ain't about you, babe. It's about the club. Walk your ass on. I'm gonna pray for you, boy.
Steve was not happy after that one.
Nope, there's a little dissension in the ranks. Could we see Steve and Nux come to blows?
I think we might. There was problems before, and there's going to be problems still.
Yep. Although, I'm kind of curious because... Didn't we kind of sort of talk about Anderson becoming VP?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we also kind of talk about how he goes on to win the Bound for Glory series?
Yep.
And didn't we come to the conclusion that he wins the title from Bully?
Either from Bully or from whoever beat Bully.
Yes. And thus takes potential control of the Aces and Eights.
Hmm. Things are aligning in that direction at the moment. Just pointing that one out.
Hashtag rack exclusive. Just pointing that out.
But now it's time, Lindsay.
It is time for easily the match of the night. You have Gail Kim taking on Taryn Terrell in a ladder match. Mickie James comes out first as she wants a ringside seat for this epic bout. And then you had Gail and Taryn come out and beat the ever-living crap out of each other.
Let's see. Taryn speared Gail through the ropes. There was the figure four spot around the ring, around the ladder. There was the dragon sleeper on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
There was the crossbody off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There was those shots into the, you know, driving the ladder into Gail. Hell of a match.
This was absolutely fantastic. It lived up to every bit of the hype. Gail Kim wins by a rather clever move on her part by tying Taryn Terrell's hair around the ring rope and climbing the ladder to get the contract.
Very clever way to put her out. Very, very awesome match. It lived up to the hype. It's been hyped about for, what, 10 days now?
Yes.
If not longer. And it lived up to all the hype. Bravo, Gail. Bravo, Taryn Terrell. They're 2 for 2. They've delivered. This time, the first time, no expectations. This time, expectations.
Yes.
They lived up to it. Fantastic match. And the boys up north, well, top it.
Yeah, AJ and Caitlin, you guys have got a task ahead of you if you want to top that.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking to the boys. Top it.
Oh.
Top it Sunday.
Well, the boys are going to have to top it too, but seeing as the Divas are sort of trying to one-up the knockouts.
Them too, but I'm curious. I don't know. This was a hell of a ladder match.
This was definitely a hell of a ladder match. They were doing spots that I know some guys won't do.
That's what I'm saying. The boys got to beat this.
And I hope to God that they walked backstage and went, top that.
Hell of a match. Gail Kim is your number one contender for the Knockouts title, which means we're going to get Mickey and Gail at some point, and I think Taryn's probably not done in terms of being in that title picture either.
No, and I hope we get just as many epic bouts between Mickey and Gail, quite honestly.
I'm with you.
Because honestly, this was pay-per-view quality.
Oh, yeah. Hell of a battle. Pay-per-view quality, without question.
Yes. Absolutely fantastic. So, bravo, ladies.
Job well done.
Yes, well done. It made me proud to be a female wrestling fan. It really did. Got a little verklempt. And the best thing about this match, they got time.
15 minutes.
Yep, the guys' matches got shortened for this match.
This is what they built up to. This was the match they centered the entire tapings around, honestly.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yes!
But then, Lindsay, we go backstage, don't we?
We do go backstage. We have Angle and Sting. They're sitting in a locker room. The camera is peering in, spying on them, and they're basically... They're discussing their triumph in the fifth member of Main Event Mafia, and then they also discuss Joe and Magnus, who are in the Bound for Glory series, and the fact that they've got the number one and number two horse in the race right now, that they're waiting on the fifth member, and, well, he's supposed to call. As Angle's getting just a little bit worried that, well, maybe he's not going to show, but Sting says, no, he's going to call, and, well... Wouldn't you know it, as if right on cue, Sting's phone goes off.
You know, sometimes it just magically happens like that.
It does. It completely does. Sting takes the call as we go to break.
We come back. He's in the middle of a phone conversation, and the heavy hitter will be there in a few minutes.
So they better hurry.
Better hurry. But now it's time for the Bound for Glory series gauntlet with 25 points on the lines. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was a solid match. Very solid.
Good stuff. That was fun on commentary. Claiming it wasn't fair. There's only one member of the Aces Aids in there. But, you know. That's what happened when you only have one member of the Aces and Aids in the Bound for Glory series. This matchup came down to Rude and Magnus, and they had a nice exchange towards the end, and it was really entertaining, really fun. Some nice counters. But in the end, Lindsay, one man walked out with 25 points.
And it was the number one horse for Main Event Mafia. Magnus wins.
He has a huge lead right now.
Let's see if he can hold it.
He has basically the James Storm lead from last year. Can Magnus hold it onto it? That's the big question.
And poor Joseph Park has the Joe count.
Mm-hmm, so I got minus 17.
Oh, poor Joseph Park. Poor guy.
Poor Joseph. Poor Joseph.
But after this, we get to, the main event segment of the night.
Before we get to the main event segment, Destination X is next week.
Right.
And on Twitter, Dixie Carter, at TNA Dixie, made a couple announcements. She announced that next week on the show, it will be Chavo Guerrero versus Kenny King versus Manic. And we will see the likes of Petey Williams, Sanjay Dutt, and Homicide on the show.
Woohoo!
So Destination X live. They stressed live next week. Because they're what, in Louisville? No, they're in Louisville. So that's what, 2 hours away? 2 hour difference? 1 hour from the East Coast.
No, Louisville's East Coast.
So Louisville's East Coast?
Yeah, Louisville's East Coast.
No, they're Central.
No, they're East Coast.
Really?
Yes.
I swear they're Central.
No, they're East Coast.
I don't believe you.
I believe you're thinking of Lexington.
Yeah, okay. Because they're right on the board. Okay. Got it. I know somewhere in Kentucky it's... Anyway, they're... So maybe not be left. Anyway, moving on. Moving on, he says.
Moving on. We have... And speaking of Destination X... We have Hulk Hogan. He's on his way to the ring to get Saban's decision. Hulk opens up by saying that he definitely has to say there are some Hulkamaniacs here tonight in Vegas, to which he gets a whoop-whoop. Next week is all about the X Division brother, because they'll be live from Louisville. Hogan then puts Saban over and brings him out to get his decision. Hulk puts Saban over a little bit more, saying he's best, he's the best, he's awesome, he's fantastic. Saban thanks Hulk, and then he talks about his torn ACL injuries again, and how he wouldn't give up no matter what, despite the fact that the doctors told him he couldn't wrestle, his family told him he shouldn't wrestle, he was going to stay in there, he's a fighter, he's a trooper, and he's going to fulfill his dream. And that's why he's here, because his dream is to become the world heavyweight champion. Saban then makes a decision and says, yes, he wants Bully. He wants Bully at Destination X. And he prepares to hand the belt over to Hogan when, they get interrupted by Bully and the Aces and Eights in full.
No, actually just Bully by himself. Bully by himself.
They all came out together.
Did they?
They all came out and Bully...
And he just went to the ring. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so Bully went to the ring.
Bully enters the ring and then has a few choice words for Hogan and Saban. Is that correct?
Just a few.
Let's hear it from his mouth, shall we?
Absolutely.
First things first, you tell your daughter, my wife, that we got unfinished business. Now on to you. You must be living in a fantasy land. Okay, Chris Saban? Do yourself a favor. Do not hand that title over to Hulk. Don't reassure him. Okay? Don't reassure him. You're going to get him in trouble like you've gotten everybody else, including your daughter, in trouble with me. As I was saying, I'm a bad person, Chris Sabin, and I do bad things. There is no way in hell a little boy like you could ever defeat a man, a president, a world champion like me. How bad do you think I'm going to beat the living piss out of you if you cash in that belt?
You know what, bully? Shut the hell up. See, I think you have a really short memory because you like to come out here every week. Oh, do you know who I am? Well, I think you've forgotten who I am. Because have you forgotten that I've beaten you right in this ring, 1, 2, 3? Have you forgotten that I'm the man who pinned you in Team 3D's retirement match? Have you forgotten? Huh? Huh? Have you forgotten that I'm the only man in this business to ever kick out of Team 3D's finish? Have you forgotten that? Huh? Yeah, so what? So what? I'm the underdog, but you know what? I've been the underdog my entire life. This is nothing new to me. Nothing new to me. And 9 times out of 10, yeah, a big man like you would beat a little man like me. But you know what? All I need is one chance. Just one shot to beat you, and I know I can do it. July 18th, Destination X. I will beat you. I will stand over you, and I will ask you if you know who I am. I'm Chris Sabin, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Don't you do it! Don't you hand him that belt! Don't do it!
Okay, okay.
There it is! That makes it official!
You just signed your death warrant, kid. Because remember something. I've taken everybody down in this company. And you ain't just fighting me at Destination X. You're fighting my whole family.
Whoa, what's going on here?
Oh, the intimidation tactics of Bully Ray and Aces and Eights answered by the arrival of Sting and the Main Event Mafia.
Well, Bully, that's not necessarily true. You see, it won't be Chris Sabin against Aces and Eights. It's going to be Chris Sabin against Bully Ray alone. And Mafia here, my family's going to make sure of it. When I say Mafia, I'm talking about Joe. I'm talking about Kurt, Magnus, myself, and our heavy hitter, Rampage Jackson.
What?
Get out of here. No way.
Jackson's in the Mafia?
No way. Wait a minute. Oh, no!
Here's the heavy hitter in Las Vegas. Fifth member of the Main Event Mafia is Rampage Jackson.
No! This can't be. Oh, my God.
So we have Rampage Jackson as the Main Event Mafia's heavy hitter. And we got a hell of a promo out, Chris Sabin.
That was a fantastic promo. I loved how he's like, you know what? Screw you.
Mm-hmm. Nice way to close out close out tonight's edition of Impact.
Absolutely, this was a great show from top to bottom. There weren't really too many slow spots. It didn't really drag in any places. The matches were right on point. The ladders match delivered. The gauntlet match delivered. This was a fantastic show. I'm looking forward to see if the X Division can follow it up next week.
Here's hoping, and I just saw a picture from Tyron Terrell's Twitter. Holy crap, did her leg get messed up from the ladder match?
Yeah, she's got bruises galore, the poor thing.
Mm-hmm. and this is not the Tweet of Week segment that's coming up next, but she says, the damage of a figure four around a ladder. Thanks, Gail Kim, for forcing me to wear jeans in the summer.
Ouch.
But yeah, that was a hell of a finish to the show. Hell of a show tonight.
Very good show tonight. Like I said, it delivered on all counts. Bravo. Well done, TNA. Look forward to next week. I can't wait.
Me neither. Should be a fun show. Destination X live with Bully Ray versus Chris Sabin for the World Heavyweight title.
Absolutely. And on that note, we are going to kick it to break. The final break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Money in the Bank coming up this Sunday. Who's in? Who's out? What's happening? What's going on? Because, well, we've got news on that front, too. And, of course, we've also got our question of the night, which we never told people, but we'll tell you after the break, because it kind of ties in. And, of course, Tweet of the Week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
And now, haiku time, with René Dasaldi and Some Dumb Aussie Git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but later is a slot.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy Talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Street dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn...
fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it?
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to fly out by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. That's a chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Patting pockets.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. And, of course, I should also mention, I do apologize because I sort of forgot, about our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com. I'm so sorry. It's been a full night, to say the least. And my co-host doesn't answer. Great. Yay! So anyway, we are going to come out of TNA for a little bit. And Jim Cornette, that's what you missed if you're just joining us on the flip side of the break. And we're going to transition into one of our favorite segments, which is, of course, Tweet of the Week.
No. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Oops, we're doing too
Yeah, late. Sure you did. For those of you who don't know what that is, it is a YouTube sensation of Fandango's theme as sung by Dean Ambrose, only saying nope from the very first S.H.I.E.L.D. promo. Mm-hmm. It's floating around Facebook. It's floating around Twitter. It's kind of awesome, and I have to applaud whoever edited that together because that is... amazing,
that is amazing
how they did that.
That is very, very amazing. But now it's officially time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You should go first.
I should go first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All mine, except for one, are from Biggie Langston. And there's only three, so two are from Biggie Langston. So, Biggie Langston, somebody tweets him, "You're kind of overrated, just saying." To which he replies, "Clearly, I'll be working hard on my plancha to move up a couple slots on your blog." Somebody else tweets Biggie Langston, "Meet you at Secrets after at WWE Live in Ocean City." Sounds like a house of ill repute. Is it bring your own baby oil?
Okay.
Last one is from the one and only Frankie Kazarian. Somebody tweeted him, Kazarian, cry baby, cry berry, suck your mama tit, LOL, to which he replied, and suck on a dictionary and attempt English ignoramus.
Very nice.
Well played.
No Drew McIntyre in your tweet a week? None? No?
No. I'll let you do that. Although, I will explain it in the fact that I did get a reply from Drew McIntyre in the fact that, well, my friend Mel needed a question for his Q&A session that he did on Monday night, and not thinking he would see it, not thinking he would respond to it, I asked her, does he like tacos? And, well, Rock, does he like tacos?
Well, since he kind of was, what was his answer to you? Sort of like, you know, who are you talking about? Basically.
Yeah, basically, he responded to me by saying, is it me, or is it... He was also doing this with the New York Times and one other person.
ESPN,
thank you. So, yeah, it's... Is it me, or is it them? And we responded saying it was him, but he never responded back. So, well, the ever-diligent producer of Wild Talk Radio got the answer.
I asked the question, what is your favorite pizza topping, or are you a fan of tacos? The answers were chicken and yes. So Drew McIntyre does like the taco.
Which means he can come over to my house for dinner anytime.
There you go. AJ Lee. Hey, bird that pooped on my just washed car. You got some balls on you. AJ Lee. Last night I had a detailed, lengthy dream about inventing mint chocolate chip pancakes. My subconscious has its priorities straight.
I think you can get those at IHOP.
Maybe. AJ Lee, I just got way too excited upon discovering a surplus of M&Ms in my trail mix. I should really start making friends. CM Punk, best United announcement ever. Ladies and gentlemen, the plane is not here yet, but it's still scheduled to depart on time. Spoiler alert. It did not depart on time.
Poor Punk.
AJ Lee, only a small badass group of women can say they may have done it wrong. I did it like 5 times, but whatevs. Miss you, Eve. Happy 1 year, because 1 year ago they may have done it all together. Kevin Nash tweeted, watched TNA on DVR and thought Magnus was a great choice. Do the writers not realize Joe was in the original Main Event Mafia? What the fuck? Eric Young replies, where is the EY love? Kind of a big deal. Have suits. We'll travel. # I make everything better.
He does. He really does.
Seth Mates on Twitter, former WWE writer, replying to the New York Post, which stated George Clooney and Stacey Kidler broke up over the phone. He replied, not true. George left it up to the WWE app.
Ouch.
Ardo O'Cal, tour begins. At Triple H will be our guide. We now have AC.
Yay!
At the new WWE Performance Center that opened tonight. And at Jim Ross, JR's Barbecue. At Heyman Hustle, scouting at WWE NXT. Wait, where's my wallet? That's tweet of the week.
Well, we have 2 submissions from Jersey Girl. Jeff Dunham, who he says, Walter, George Clooney and Stacey Keibler have reportedly split up. George was so sad over it that he was quoted saying, next. AJ Lee, in Orlando today, and I didn't go to Disney World, disappointed, but I feel better knowing I'm too short to get on the rides anyway.
There you go. Tweet of the week.
Yes, and speaking of the WWE Performance Center, that's not the only WWE news that we have this week.
No.
And sadly, it's not happy news. Although I'm sure on some level the fangirls are rejoicing, mm-hmm. and some of the fanboys too. We'll get to the bigger of the two news, which is, well, Randy Orton has gotten divorced.
Yeah, he has.
In a literally out of nowhere announcement yesterday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. According to from TMZ.
From TMZ, Orton and his wife have split. They are formally divorced. You can go to TMZ.com or any wrestling news site, especially PWMania.com, to check that out as far as what he and she both got. I think she got a little stiffed in the divorce personally, but that's just my personal opinion of it.
Yeah, he caught a bunch of six-figure bank accounts, a gun collection, jewelry, and one house, plus 100% rights to his rights, title, and interest in the WWE contract, which is worth tons of money. According to the docs, Randy takes in $291,666 per month in salary, which is incorrect. He doesn't take that in per month. That may have been for a month. That's not what he gets per month. His downside guarantee is $1 million.
Right.
So with bonuses, he could make that, you know, at a WrestleMania or SummerSlam, but not every month. That was stuff that was cleared up today.
Still, it's a lot of money, and she gets a house, she gets to keep her car, her wedding and engagement ring, she gets a six-figure bank account.
$654,000.
Yes, which is kind of sort of a small chunk of change in comparison to what he's probably worth, but I'm not really going to say anything about that. And, of course, she gets child support for their beautiful four-year-old daughter.
So there you go.
So the fangirls are rejoicing as both Randy Orton and John Cena are not married, even though Cena is technically taken.
Cena is technically taken, and we'll see that in the upcoming Total Divas, starting on E! On July 28th.
But speaking of Total Divas, a Total Diva did make the news. The original diva, Sunny, made the news.
She made the news. What did she do now?
Well, it turns out she's going to be working a fan fest. And at this fan fest, you can pay $75 to get your picture taken with her. But it's not just any picture. Oh, no. No, no, no. You can curl up in bed with Sunny and have your picture taken with her. And I think for a few dollars more, you can spoon her.
Oh, boy. Where do I sign up? No.
Honestly, I cannot criticize Tammy Stitch for this. I really can't. It's just kind of one of those facepalm moments where it's like, you know, I know a girl's got to make a living. But really? 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 Okay. And I love the comment that she made after everybody's reaction to it was kind of priceless because she said it's not prostitution.
And then she said everyone's going to be copying her in about a year.
Yeah, no.
No. Maybe if they copy her, it might be more attractive people. Anyway,
we're not going to quite go there, but yes. Yeah, so, what fan fest is it? I forget which one.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Just Google it. She's working a fan fest, and you can have this done at the fan fest.
It's in October, I believe.
I'm actually looking forward to stories coming out of this one, just playing that.
We're going to get some interesting pictures probably floating on the interwebs after this.
Oh, yes. Can't wait.
Yeah. But one other story that's making the rounds that I wanted to kind of touch on.
Okay.
Apparently there's this big rumor going around because WWE is in the process of accepting bids for certain WrestleManias in the near future.
Oh.
San Francisco is up for bid for, I believe, next year, the year after that, WrestleMania 31.
Okay.
And they're also, it's either San Fran or San Jose, it's a combination of the two. Toronto's in the mix, and a certain city named Philadelphia is in the mix as well.
You realize if it's in Philly, you have to go, right?
Yeah, I know.
Like none of this, I don't want to go by myself bullshit. Every time Raw or SmackDown is in Philly, that's always the answer we get because we always tell him he should go. And he's like, no, no, I don't want to go by myself. If Mania is in Philly, you're going. Fly up there and drag you kicking and screaming.
Oh, I've already talked to people about it already. Oh, I've already talked, so we're good on that one.
Okay, then.
I talked to some people. It's a go.
Okay.
But yeah, Philly is... Philadelphia is in consideration for WrestleMania. WWE has confirmed this story, by the way. It was a rumor earlier today. It's been confirmed by WWE, thanks to 6abc.com here in Philadelphia.
Well, cross your fingers. Here's to hoping that Philly gets it.
It will be held at the Lincoln Financial Field. Nice stadium. Big stadium. So, yeah, I figured I wanted to mention that. So, WrestleMania in Philly. That's kind of awesome.
Maybe they'll bring the Eagles some luck.
We'll see.
So, speaking of can't wait or wait and see, we've got a pay-per-view to break down, don't we?
We have a pay-per-view to break down our extensive 9.5-minute coverage right here on the rack. Because that's how we do it. That's how we roll. 9.5 minutes, we're going to get it all covered.
Yep.
Start and your timers now.
Yes. And by the way, just to fill everybody in, because it ties in with our Money in the Bank discussion, our question of the night is, who do you think will replace Kane in the WWE All-Stars match? Because in case you live under a rock, you didn't hear about what happened Monday night with the debut of the Wyatt family. Well, Bray and his boys took out our most beloved Big Red Machine, and they are giving updates of neck and spinal damage.
Severe head trauma is one of the things thrown around.
And I believe spinal damage was another one mm-hmm. that was thrown around. Either way, Kane is messed up because of the Wyatt boys. He's messed up pretty bad. And he is listed as doubtful for Money in the Bank.
And an official decision will be announced tomorrow by WWE.
So that leaves the question of, if Kane is out, who replaces him? So we will get into that when we talk about the All-Star match.
Yeah, so for people playing along at home... MemLane Pro presents the Money in the Bank Pick'em Challenge. Send your picks to media at wildtalkradio.com. Put them in our chat, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Yes. So let's go ahead and start with the pre-show, which is such a travesty.
You know what's funny? Before you start, currently right now on TV is a Money in the Bank promo.
Nice.
Very coincidental, but I figured I'd point that out.
They're spying on us.
They must be. My TV is like that. There's the moment's TV.
Yeah, it's run away. They're spying on us. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the pre-show, the crime of the century, the complete and total injustice. We have the tag team champions Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns taking on the Usos to kick off the pay-per-view.
This matchup was moved to the pre-show, was going to be originally on the actual show, but it was moved to the pre-show to give it more time, because the two big Money in the Bank matches need time. So, in fairness to them, to give them some actual time, because if you remember last month, at the kickoff, Sheamus and Sandel actually got some time, which was good. So these guys will get 10 minutes instead of the usual 4 minutes that things have been getting on the pre-shows.
I guess. I don't know. It seems like a slap in the face.
It is. It is sort of coming a slap in the face. But let's break this match down. You got the Usos trying to become the top contenders, they're trying to establish them as a legit team. And in the process, I think they've kind of watered down, brought the Shield down to their level instead of bringing the Usos up.
I would have to agree with that. If you notice, the Shield does not have the might that they once did. They don't attack really anybody anymore. They don't even run together anymore, if you've noticed. Dean Ambrose doesn't even come down with Rollins and Reigns. He stays at the top of the stairs while they walk down, and he goes off and does whatever he does while they're fighting. Whereas when they first premiered, you never saw those three apart. Ever. So I think they've, and I think honestly they've kind of had to water the Shield down just a little bit because of the fact that, well, it's like, great, you're going to build the Usos and you're going to build them up to be number one contenders, but you don't have a lot of teams, unfortunately, to build the Usos against, especially when you consider that the Usos are face and they only have, what, two heel tag teams, the Shield and Rhodes Scholars?
Yeah.
So, it's like, what do you do in that situation? I mean, the tag team division is just so depleted that they really don't have any choice, unfortunately.
It is very unfortunate that they've had to do this. And this is where I'm going to do, this. So we click the right way.
Spoiler alert!
You know, the big thing WWE likes to do is, you know, if someone's going to win on Sunday, they would kind of lose on, you know, the go-homes or whatever. Spoiler alert, Friday on SmackDown, it is Seth Rollins versus somebody. I can't remember who. I believe it's one of the Usos. I think. Am I right? Something like that?
I believe so, yes.
And Seth Rollins wins. That's the big thing. Seth Rollins wins the match. You would think they would give the Uso the win going into the match, giving them the thought that the Usos could actually beat the Shield, since the only win they really got over the Shield was the six-man tag, and that was Christian winning. So that kind of, it's kind of making me believe that, you know, in WWE logic, do Usos win?
You know, honestly, I can see that, just because if they get the belts off the Shield, which unfortunately, when they put the belts on, as much hope as we had for those belts to do something for the Shield, they've really just been a hindrance to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forced them to sort of acclimate into the WWE landscape, and they've become just regular guys. So, honestly, I believe that it's like if you could get the belts off the Shield, then you could turn the intensity back up on the Shield again and maybe make them credible contenders for other people on the roster.
Right.
Especially other people who give certain other people's favorite wrestlers fucking spinal damage!
So, in the landscape of things, do the Usos, in your mind, are you picking the Usos?
I want to. I'm kind of leaning in that way, but ultimately I am going to go with the Shield just because I think they're going to take him to SummerSlam with the belts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... Because the problem then becomes, you know, it's if you take it off the Shield and you give it to the Usos are kind of in the same position that the Shield is in, is that they don't have a lot of competition. And really, your match at SummerSlam is a rematch anyway. Logistically.
Right.
So, since they're going to be fighting again anyway, I would say that the Shield at least keep the belts till SummerSlam.
There's a big part of me that wants to pick the Usos just to be right, but I believe in the Shield. I can't pick against them at this point. It's too early in the run. Shield goes over the Usos. And for the correct spoiler, Seth Rollins beat Jey Uso.
Yay. So, alright, next we're going to have the match of the night, the one that everybody's clamoring for, Chris Jericho versus Ryback.
Cry back. Oh, this match. It's kind of sort of, did they not have anything else for either man to do is basically what this matchup boils down to. And this feud's been interesting. It's been, we've seen a different side of Ryback. He, you know, I mentioned Ryback, and that's basically Chris Jericho's been mocking Ryback because Ryback faked an injury once and then sort of faked it again and started calling Ryback. Hell, Ryback even, you know, forfeited a match due to Miz beating him up. Yes, Ryback quit in a match against The Miz after going in a 3 stages of hell match against John Cena. Just pointing that one out.
John Cena softened him up.
That must have been it. You haven't seen much interaction with the two of them. Even like in the go-home, there was no interaction between the two. So this match is sort of just there in a way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing.
I think this is just a basically, we need to throw Ryback and Jericho on the pay-per-view. We need to have them on there, especially if they're going to have Ryback pick Vicky up as a valet.
Mm-hmm.
Or a manager, which it looks like that's going to happen.
Shudders.
Shudder. Yeah, just complete shudder. I know I said Ryback needed a manager, but that's not what I meant.
That's not who we were talking about.
So
this leads to the question, though. Is this Jericho's way of trying to build Ryback back up after the big loss he suffered against John Cena, as I mentioned?
You're going to almost have to have Ryback win. I mean, at this stage, it's a joke. It's seriously a joke, because he hasn't had a win in a year on pay-per-view.
Think about
it. They actually pointed that out,
mm-hmm.
that Ryback has not won on pay-per-view since Money in the Bank last year, and it was against Rex and somebody else.
Hawkins, maybe?
Hawkins, probably. So just think about that one. The fact that even WWE is pointing out the fact that, oh yeah, you know, this guy, yeah, he's totally not reliable because he can't get it done on the big show.
So this is where it unfortunately goes. Ryback wins?
I have to agree, just because I think Jericho's getting ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally see Jericho leaving, and Ryback gets his win, kicks Jericho out of the WWE, and that starts to reestablish him. But the problem is he gets a one-time win over Jericho, and then who does he move on to next?
Curtis Axel.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm going with Ryback.
Ryback, he's got to win. If he doesn't, if Jericho goes over, just ship Ryback back to NXT, seriously.
They have a nice performance center for him to work out his promos and stuff.
They do, they really do. They have a very nice performance center he could land in, but yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm sorry. He needs this win. He needs it so badly at this stage. He can't take another loss. So, moving on from there to actually a match I'm looking forward to, at least. I don't think anybody else is, but I'm looking forward to it, is the rematch between AJ Lee and Caitlin, in which these two have just been absolutely going after each other left, right, and center.
Yeah, they have. They really have. We've had AJ mock Caitlin, Caitlin mock AJ. AJ, the show, photos of Caitlin looking like a thunder... You know what? And, yeah. It's been interesting. Apparently, this is where we're going back to the sound clip.
Spoiler alert!
They have a pretty awesome contract segment on SmackDown tomorrow, which features text messages that Caitlyn sent to Big E. So, from what I hear, it's a pretty awesome segment to watch.
Yeah, I may have to tune into SmackDown to see this. I hear there's quite a lot of shenanigans that happen.
Shenanigans! But yeah, this feud's been built up well. The rematch has been built up nice. And it's led to some the sanction between AJ and Dolph, but we'll get into Dolph a little bit later. I'm liking these two together. They have great chemistry. Their stuff on Twitter is awesome together. And then, you know, in promos, they haven't been the best promos per se, but they've been effective promos.
The thing is that you've got AJ, or I should say, AJ is stronger than Caitlyn on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of one of those things that when you've got AJ doing her crazy and she's so good at it as she is, you really don't have Caitlyn being able to even compete. So it's been okay mic work, but what's nice is where Caitlyn kind of sort of dominates AJ is on the physical side.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on Monday where Caitlyn speared AJ and...
AJ was dead.
AJ was dead. Like, she just ragdolled that move, and I love how she sells that spear.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it makes Caitlyn look just completely badass.
Yeah, it does.
So, I think that's where it's kind of being made up for, is the physical side of it. Caitlyn is making up for it, because AJ can't do as much physically as Caitlyn can, and Caitlyn can't keep up with AJ on the mic, so they're kind of sort of balanced.
Right.
Very nicely, and I like how they built the intensity to this match. I like how they're making it mean something. They're giving them time on the show, so it's not just like, oh yeah, they hate each other, and then random Divas match 4 weeks later with nothing in between.
Consistent build on both SmackDown and Raw, which you can't say a lot for in Divas matches, you know, in the past year. So
yeah.
This is where we're going to move. Go ahead.
But what's going to be interesting is where Layla plays in all this, because Layla's been coming out with Caitlyn to support her friend. And there's rumors going around that Layla may be going heel again. So we'll have to see where Layla plays into.
So basically what you're saying is Layla's going to cross Caitlyn.
I'm thinking so, yeah.
I could see that happening. I don't think we see it here. I think we see it probably on Monday Night Raw, where Layla turns, most likely. But I'm giving AJ the belt. She keeps it. She retains the belt. What about you?
I'd have to agree. AJ's the most high visible champion they've had in a really, 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 really super long time.
Really?
Really.
Yeah.
Really, really. And... honestly, her having that belt gives it a little bit of credibility again.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's on TV every week, and oh, hey, look, there's a belt on TV every week for the Divas. It's like, when Caitlyn had it, what kind of stunk was that Caitlyn never, if she made it on TV, she didn't even have the belt with her. So, it's like, AJ walks around, she's got the title, she carries it with her wherever she goes, and she covets it left, right, and center. So, yeah, I'm sticking with AJ on this one.
Sticking with AJ on this one, that's a good way to go. And when you say the belt's on TV, she actually wears the belt, too.
Which, she's so slight, it looks like she's going to tip over with it.
So moving on,
we've got another match of the night contender, The Miz versus Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship.
Not much really to say about this one. The finish last month led some people questioning, you know, did Curtis actually legitimately win the belt? At this point, he's the Intercontinental Champion. Miz is looking to regain the title that he once held. I don't have much really to say about this one. It's been a solid build, nothing to write home about, honestly.
It's kind of one of those last-minute confusing builds, and I almost wish that they had actually swapped two matches. Like, they had Miz versus Ryback, and Jericho versus Axel.
Like, the build's been Curtis, Axel, and Jericho on TV the last week. And
yeah.
We're not getting it. We're not getting that match.
It's like, think about it. You know, you had The Miz make Ryback quit.
Mm-hmm.
He quit. So you would think Ryback would automatically want to get revenge on The Miz for making him quit and beat the crap out of him. But no, he's gonna go fight Jericho, and Axel's gonna get Miz, since Miz is gonna get his rematch, which is completely understandable, and that's fine. It seems like they have a more organic story for both of them if you just flop it.
Yeah,
pretty and much. It would be a better story, but I don't book for them, unfortunately, and or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. So, honestly, as far as this one goes, I say they keep it with Axel.
Gotta keep it with Axel. He lost on Monday, and again, we're gonna play the sounder because it's kind of awesome.
Spoiler alert!
He loses again on SmackDown.
Yes. So, I look for. And honestly, it's more high profile with Axel right now than it is with Miz, so.
I would agree completely. Curtis Axel retains the belt. Retains the belt.
Yes. So, now, let's see, do we want to save the money in the banks for last?
Yeah, let's do the world, the two title matches and move on to the belt, the big ladder matches.
We have World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio sans Ricardo taking on Dolph Ziggler.
They've switched roles. Ziggler is now the babyface. Alberto Del Rio is now the heel, which is the roles they should both have. Ziggler's been an interesting face the last couple weeks. They haven't really done much interacting with each other. At least in the past 7 days. It's basically, oh, here's the rematch. We got it. It's set on the books. There was a bit or a few weeks ago where Ricardo got injured and taken off TV with the Fiesta. But beyond that, there hasn't been much total interaction. Monday, they brawled a little bit, but that was about it. All signs sort of point to Ziggler winning back the belt, but you just put it on Alberto Del Rio. This one's kind of tough.
This is a hard one to call, but honestly, just looking at the World Heavyweight Championship money in the bank,
it kind of leans towards going babyface in this one.
It leans towards a babyface holding the title, whether it's Ziggler or it's somebody else.
I'm kind of torn. Like, I know what I said on WTR with Dolph Ziggler winning. It's just... it's tough, because if you think about it, it's one of those things. It might be too soon to take the belt off of Del Rio.
They're trying to really establish Del Rio as a credible heel. And having him lose automatically to Dolph a month after he's just won the title, and he's so fresh into his heel run, I would say would do irreparable damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it stays with Del Rio.
Yeah, I'm flip-flopping back to Del Rio. I went with Ziggler on WTR, so changing my pick, Kinkins. Del Rio retains the belt. Hold on. Ziggler wins. Ziggler wins by disqualification, does not win the title. That's my pick. Ziggler wins by disqualification. We'll get a rematch at SummerSlam. That's my pick. Ziggler by DQ.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say Del Rio by DQ when Big E fucks Ziggler over.
Okay. I can see that. I can
either
totally
Big E
see that.
Or AJ cost him the match.
Okay.
And that's how Del Rio wins, because Del Rio's not going to have Ricardo there, so.
Okay, so we're both saying there's a disqualification. I'm going Ziggler wins by DQ. She goes Del Rio by DQ.
So we'll have to see who's right. There's a little distension.
So there you go.
And finally, at least for the championship matches, we have WWE Champion John Cena taking on Mark Henry.
This build started strong. And I mean strong. Mark Henry. Ooh. Sold it big time getting this match. that fake retirement speech, fantastic. And then the build's been okay. It hasn't been the greatest, but it's been solid. Again, I know what they said on WTR, but it's like, you start off hot, and then you just stay status quo, and that's fine. You could not top what they did to start the feud. And that's fine. It was status quo, solid stuff all the way through, and that's what you want. They're building to a big match. And this match has a big match feel to it, because there is a definite chance Mark Henry leaves as the WWE champion.
Yeah, I would have to agree. This was something that I think everybody was like, oh god, it's John Cena and Mark Henry. We all groaned at the thought of it. And it's, you really did have to do something to start this ultra hot to get everybody's interest. And the way that they did it got everybody's interest. It drew everybody's attention to it. We're all looking, you know, looking at it going, okay, well, because it's kind of put a little bit of doubt on the match. And at least in my opinion, there was no way they were going to be able to top that. So I kind of see it as they've just sort of needed to keep the fire hot.
They've kept it lit, and it's, you know, it's simmering at this point, and it's going to boil over at the pay-per-view. This is the best way to put it. The water's been boiled, it's ready to cook. We get the match, we get the match Sunday.
Yeah, because you don't want to peak too early.
No, and they hit a nice, really hot point, and they've kept it nice and simmering for the last few weeks. And we got a little raise in the fire when Henry laid out Cena on Monday. We're good. This is gonna be a good match. Come Money in the Bank. It's gonna be better than Ryback and Cena, without question. I'm actually looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'm interested to see this one, because as we saw Monday night, he could not get Henry up for the AA, so
will he be able to do it? That's the big question. Or will he have to use the STF and make the big man tap out?
Yes.
But this boils down to, Lindsay, who you got?
I'm going to go with Henry on this one.
I'm going with Cena.
I can honestly see them giving Henry the win, especially since Cena's going to move on to other things. Mm-hmm. And Cena can always get the belt back at some point. I'm going to go Henry.
Go Mark Henry. Okay. So, what was those? No, you know, we're on opposite sides on that one. Distinction among the ranks. Which is always good for Pick'em, because then there's actual real bragging rights. Where we're not all picking the same thing.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's just something, too.
There is doubt, Cena. There is doubt that Cena could lose this match Sunday.
Well, and it's the upside, too, of Henry's never won it. He's probably almost done. Give it to him.
And if he wins it Sunday, he could always pull a Kane and, well, lose it Monday.
Lose it Monday, yeah. So there is that as well. John Cena could always get his rematch because, well, Brad Maddox is in charge, so who knows what the hell's going to happen.
Exactly. But now, Lindsay, we move on to the big matches, the two big ones.
Yes, we're going to move on to the Money in the Bank, and we are going to start with the World Heavyweight Championship match, where you have Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Fandango,
No. Fandango.
Fandango.
Jax
Swagger. And Antonio Cesaro, all contending for the contract to get a World Heavyweight Championship shot at some point.
Sunday, I was leaning towards Sandow and Cesaro, because, quite frankly, they're two of the guys who really honestly deserve this. Wade Barrett had this discussion with King Kins the other night. He's fallen off as Wade Barrett. He's fallen off the table where he was a potential challenger for a title about 2 years ago, and he hasn't really been built back up, and giving him a briefcase I don't think will be the right push for him. I don't think he's ready for it. He has to go get build, work his way back up the ladder. they've damaged him enough, especially when he was Intercontinental Champion, where he is taken more seriously.
Barrett's year was honestly last year, and the injury did more damage than just physical.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just never been able to recover that spot that he had. And they literally did. They had him poised and ready to launch in the summer, and then he got hurt, and they just could never... They could never reclaim it, and because of that, really, Daniel Bryan got the spot.
Right.
And honestly, Daniel Bryan is probably where Wade Barrett would be right now, had he not gotten injured.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. So, yeah... I have to agree. As much as I love Wade, he's not a contender.
So we eliminate Wade Barrett. Okay. Then there's the Jack Swagger equation.
Swagger's filler.
Especially with his legal troubles and how he never got over, even with Zeb Coulter as his manager, the way they wanted to him, and he had his chance at WrestleMania. So I guess we can eliminate Swagger from this?
Yes.
What about Fandango? Does he have an actual legit chance of winning?
He's tricky. Because I think he's still one of Vince's golden boys, but I think Vince has probably cooled on him just a little bit.
Except for the fact they bring down his symbol and, oh, hey, look at his thing.
Well, you know, the Money in the Bank is his thing.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly right.
But... You know, I just... They've... The entrance is spectacular. And they've kept the entrance for him. But as far as his matches go, they are really nothing spectacular. The one pay-per-view match that he's had...
He lost.
He won.
He won at Mania and lost to Jericho the next month at Extreme Rules.
Right, and Jericho had to carry him both times. So it's... And those two just cancel each other out. He got hurt the next month, so he was out for the last pay-per-view, and so this is technically his fourth pay-per-view in the company. Something tells me no, he's not going to get it.
And it's been 3 months since his song was, like, close to number one on the UK Top 100 chart.
Yeah, the Fandango craze has definitely cooled.
It's been like 3 months ago yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
So, or earlier this week, whatever it was. So, we're eliminating Fandango, so we're down to now four people. Let's go with Cody Rhodes. Where do you see him stacking up in this one?
I think Cody is a contender.
Okay.
Just because I am completely biased, because I like Cody. He cut a really strong promo on the backstage fallout for Raw,
mm-hmm.
where he talks about how he's been there 7 years. Think about that. Cody's been there 7 years.
Yeah, he has. He's been there a while.
He's been a very steady competitor. He hasn't really gotten hurt much. He's really poised for a push, but I think he and Sandow are both kind of those two, although they're kind of leaning Sandow face, that they really need to keep in the tag division right now.
They really do.
Because if you split Rhodes Scholars permanently, which they can't decide whether they want to do or not, then you only have the Shield.
Yeah.
As a heel tag team. And this is not counting the Wyatts. The Wyatts have not entered the tag division yet. They just showed up Monday. We have no idea what the hell they're going to do.
Well, you also have Cesaro and Swagger as a possible heel tag team as well.
You do. So that would justify breaking up Rhodes Scholars. But honestly, between Rhodes Scholars and Swagger and Cesaro, I'd rather see Rhodes Scholars because they're more entertaining.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, I think Cody is a contender, and they're probably going to tease him, but honestly, I don't see Cody winning it.
So, we're eliminating Cody from us.
I am.
I'm with you. We're eliminating Cody. I'm in agreement with you. But I would, you know, we'll see him. He could be in line for something down the line, but this is not his night. So, we're now down to three. Dean Ambrose, Damian Sandow, and Cesaro. let's go with Dean Ambrose next. What are you thinking?
Dean is honestly my pick.
Okay.
And it is because of bias. I have no problem admitting that. But it's also because Dean, at least in my opinion, is one of the ones that has some of the most momentum coming into this match.
Okay.
They really like him in terms of the company. He's very high up or highly regarded in management. He has some big players backing him in the locker room. Wink, wink, nod, nod, looking at you, Taker. And I think they're setting him up because I think they see money in him.
They see money in him, so they're going to bank on him. See what
it's
I did?
One of,
see what I did there? Money in
very
the
good.
Bank.
Yeah. Ba-dum-ching. Well done. Well played.
Anyway, continue.
But the way that I see it is the Shield will have been in the company almost a year. And at this stage, you need to go ahead and start to move them forward. And one of the things I can see is they give it to Dean, and Dean gives it to the Shield. And you could do something really interesting where it is not, Dean Ambrose is not the Money in the Bank holder. It is the Shield, which means any of them could cash it in at any time.
Interesting.
And that makes it a bigger threat than usual because you've got three guys to look over your shoulder for instead of just one.
So Dean Ambrose is your pick?
Dean Ambrose is honestly my pick. Cesaro is a close second, but they're still trying to just start to build Cesaro, especially as a heel with Coulter. Ambrose is already established. And he's really ready to take that next step. They've kind of got him in a holding pattern right now. And they need to go ahead and move him forward.
I'm eliminating Dean Ambrose because I think it's too soon. I think in a year he will be ready for it to get the contract and then have a year to build to him winning the World Heavyweight title. I think if they give him the contract, it'll be too soon for it to put the belt on him in the next year. He needs another year before, another 18 months before he should get the belt. That's my opinion. It's not time for Dean Ambrose. He still needs to establish himself as a legit contender for the belt, and I think he needs more time.
But couldn't you argue that Cesaro also needs more time because he debuted around the same time as Dean?
I could argue that, but Cesaro's going to be my pick. I just think there's more, especially now with Zeb, there's more to do with Cesaro as a character. There's more to do with it. I just think it's storyline wise, it makes more sense for Cesaro to have it right now. Sandow was close second for me because I think they could do something interesting with him, and he can win the belt for a little bit, and, you know, not lower down, and he can educate us all about the gloryfulness of the title and its past champions.
Right.
So I'm going with Cesaro. I just think it's a little too early for Dean. If Cesaro wins the belt, it won't be a long reign, but I think he'll have the belt at some point this fall.
I can respect that.
So, we have one match left.
We do, and another nail biter, another one we're not quite sure who's going to win, and it ties into our question of the night. You have your Money in the Bank All-Stars, which you have Randy Orton, RVD, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Christian, and Sheamus, with a possible Kane, all vying for the WWE Money in the Bank contract.
So let's start with the question tonight. We've had choices like Rey Mysterio, Bray Wyatt, and Brock Lesnar.
I can see those.
Rey still hurt. Brock, no way. Bray, again, way too soon to put him in a match like that. I would just leave the spot empty, honestly. Unless, again, another name we could toss out there, Big Show.
Big Show's always a definite possibility.
So, from that standpoint, whoever fills Kane's spot, we can both agree, we can eliminate, they're not winning.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I can almost see Kane, the doctors try to stop him, and he doesn't want to be stopped. He wants to compete in the match, regardless of the injuries, and you have the Wyatts take him out again.
Right.
Because, play the little thingy.
Oh, the little sounder thingy?
Yeah, the thingy.
Spoiler alert!
Bray cuts a promo on Kane on SmackDown about why they attacked him, and it appears that they are building a feud between the Wyatts and at least Kane, with the determination that there will probably be a three-way mat, or a six-man between the Wyatts and Kane and two partners of his choosing, which means, well, we may get a certain dead man, but this is... Yes. But this is all pure speculation right now. There is no stock in this at all. Except for my pure, unadulterated fangirl hope.
Alright, so Kane and whoever fills the spot, eliminate.
Yes.
CM Punk.
Punk's busy.
He has a 300-pound beast incarnate waiting for him.
Yeah, he's already spoken for, so I think Punk's out.
Sheamus. Yeah, it's... No.
No, I'm sorry. No, if you could see the look on my face right now, it's just I can't see them doing that with Sheamus. I think that would just be absolutely horrific.
I called 1-800-FELLA and I got no response, so Sheamus is not winning this Money in the Bank ladder match. He's going to look strong in the match, no question. I don't want to see him in the WWE title picture right now. It just doesn't work for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Sheamus, to me, even though he's never won it, Sheamus just... Him as the WWE Money in the Bank contract holder does nothing for me.
Now it's all about the returning Rob Van Dam. He's going to be super over on Sunday. Oh my god. This Philly crowd on Sunday is going to blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, absolutely.
RVD is going to be over. We're going to see some high-flying moves. It's going to be spectacular. He's going to look strong. Apparently, he's lost some weight. He is in the best shape he's been in for years. He's motivated, ready to come back. There's an interview with him on WWE.com. And he's ready to rock and roll. It's Rob Van Dam. He's the whole effing show. And I think he comes up short.
I'd have to agree, WWE has a plan for him. He does not have long-term, or I should say long-term contract. He's not working house shows. He's doing minimal appearances.
He's basically doing the Jericho contract right now.
Yeah, he's doing the Jericho contract, so it makes no sense to put the Money in the Bank contract on him. They can always give him the title at some point. They don't necessarily need to build him for it. And so, yeah, the plan is, they have a plan for Van Dam. The Money in the Bank, I don't think, is it. Plus, he's a very, very, very clear favorite to win it. And just because it is so blatantly obvious, I don't think they're going to do it.
Which leads to Mr. One More Match, Christian.
I kind of want to go with Christian.
Kind of leaning towards that way?
I'm kind of leaning towards that way just because Christian is a dark horse. You honestly expect them to be in there to bump, but you've got Brian and Punk in there. Brian's probably going to be bumping around like a pinball machine. And so I can see them giving it to Christian. I really can. It doesn't mean he has to win the title, but I can see them giving it to Christian.
I think fans will be let down if Christian wins it. Honestly, I think at this point, he doesn't need it. His role now is to put over people and not the star. Not to be the star attraction. So I'm eliminating him, but if you want to keep him on the table, that's fine.
I'll keep him on the table for me.
Alright. Then we boil down to Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. The two favorites, basically. I'm leaning towards Randy Orton. The way Monday was set up, it was like Daniel Bryan's not going to win. Because they were pointing him in the direction of winning. And he doesn't need... Like, this match is built for him to win. We were talking about this the other night. This match is built for him to win. But at the same time, I don't think he needs to win it.
Randy is another one of those that... He doesn't need it. He really, 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 truly doesn't need the Money in the Bank to get a WWE title shot. And, you know, honestly, short of maybe Sheamus and Bryan, and possibly Christian, you could say that about everybody in this match.
But we said the same thing last year.
We said the same thing last year, and John Cena won the briefcase, which was the obvious choice. And we all lamented it. And, you know, honestly, I think it's one of those things where it's like, Orton again is too obvious. It's like Van Damme is too obvious, Orton is too obvious, Bryan is getting on the edge. And I don't know why, but I don't see them going with the obvious, but I can see them doing it at the same time. It's a complete contradiction, I know, but it's like, you're trying to think like them.
But at the same point, that's the best thing. You're not sure. This is one match you're not sure. There's many possible winners.
Right, and there's also something of seeing as they're just recovering from Swagger's legal bouts. I don't think they're going to give it to Randy just because of his previous screw-ups.
You're not giving it to Randy. I'm giving it to Randy. Randy's my pick.
Honestly, I'm going to... As much as I want to go with Christian, I'm going to have to agree. I think his time is done. I'm going with Bryan. I know they pointed him at winning on Monday. I know it's obvious, but I don't see them... You know, especially if Bryan is supposed to face Cena for the title next month or sometime in the future, I don't see them setting up a title match between Bryan and Cena that fast unless you have Bryan win it and he cashes in that night. And he cashes in on, like, Henry.
Right.
Or Cena, whoever wins the WWE title match. Like, that's the only way I can physically see you setting up that feud between the two.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Those are our picks. Send your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, or facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork, or tweet them to @wildtalkradio. This contest is always sponsored by memlanepromo.com.
Yes. So on that note, we're going to begin to wrap up. I just have one little... tiny, itty, bitty rant before we get there.
Cool, I have a little mini rant too.
I'll let you go first.
No, you go first.
Shame on you, TLC. Shame on you so hard.
Welcome everybody to the Scratch and Sniff episode of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If I wanted to smell a bunch of stinky, nasty rednecks, I would go home. Scratch and Sniff Honey Boo Boo episode. Whoever came up with that idea, you are a horrible, horrible person. You need to just go away.
I agree completely.
That is like, I've seen the commercial 500 times for it already, and every time I see it, I get more and more and more horrified.
I'm with you. Those people need to, you know, rethink their lives.
And any of you who participate in it, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
For shame.
King Kittens, I know you're out there. if you participate in this, we're gonna have some issues.
Yes, we are gonna have some issues.
Because I know you're a big Honey Boo Boo fan. You get the craving for the Honey Boo Boo, and you want the whole watch and sniff thing. I get it. It's okay. But
is that what his life is for?
Mm-hmm. That and Christian's Wong. So.
Yeah, that too. Sorry, what's your rant?
Hey Bieber, get away from the Stanley Cup. Get away from hockey. Get away from life, please. Just go away. Go rot somewhere up in Canada where no one can find you ever again. Because you, my friend, you just die. Go away. Just go away. You disgrace the tradition by stepping on a logo. You standing next to the Stanley Cup in and of itself is just a disgrace. So, Bieber, just go away. Please. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, are we good?
We're good.
Alright, well, plug stuff.
Apparently, Mason and Omega are playing video games tomorrow night, somewhere around 8 to 10 p.m. in that range, Eastern time. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's a bit around that time to play Cards Against Humanity, which is fun and epic and exciting. But at midnight edition, CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, in some way it's weird and smacky. It's the unusual Sunday at WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be recapping Money in the Bank. Tuesday night, Monday night at the Royal Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it is Cheap Heat Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. They want your ECW Mount Rushmore, so get them into at Cheap Heat Radio on Facebook and the Twitters. And then Thursday night, we'll be back for another edition of The Rack right here on Long Talk Radio Network at 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out rackradioshow.com, WTRProductions.net, follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
So I assume I can go now?
Yes, I got them done really, really fast.
Yay! Sorry, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, sickwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And of course, I invite you to check out my Behance profile, Behance.net/Lins Ward. Check out all my cool, fun artworks. I got some new stuff up today. And of course, support the one, the only, the amazing Jim Cornette. Thank you so much for appearing on our show once again. We are so privileged to have you. It was so much fun, and I look forward to having him on again. I know Rock does as well.
Yes, check out JimCornette.com, check out MemphisWrestlingHistory.com, and check out NWALegends.com, where he'll be appearing at the FanFest at the beginning of August.
Yes, so thank you again. Once again, we greatly appreciate it. So, for Mr. Cornette, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you later. Bye. All because of you. All because of you. All because of you.
Come.